are going to shift to UEFA now, and Euro 2024 qualifying kicked off in the March window, and it's gotten off to a pretty quick start. And we're just going to jump into Group A and talk about a team that I think through two match days, not many people had pegged to be top of the group, but that's Scotland. And Scotland is on 6 points. They picked up a huge win over Spain. It was just a phenomenal match. They won 2-0 at home. Just totally shocked Spain. And I think they deserve that result. They deserve to be on 6 points. You look at who Scotland has played thus far. They got a strong win. Yes, they're at home, but they defeated Cyprus at home. They now have a big win over Spain. What do you think of Scotland so far?
Yeah, so I think they deserve to be where they are. As you mentioned already, huge performance against Spain. It's a fortress. No doubt about that. And we knew that Scotland had something. You know, I think some of their most, you know, some of their recent performances in the last, I'd say, year, you know, have kind of led us to believe that, yeah, there's something there. Did I expect them to take 3 points from Spain? Absolutely not. However, that being said, I think it's important to point out too, this is not the Spain team of old, right? So, new manager, still a fantastic team, still tons of talent. But if you're expecting this Spain team to come in to, wipe the floor with everybody, I think we saw a little bit, a little glimpse that, okay, well, there's a little bit, there's some cracks in the armor that still need to be worked out.
There are, and you can definitely count me in that group of people that thought they would really have their way with this group. They had a really impressive showing in the first match, defeating Norway 3-0. We'll talk about Norway in a little bit, but I did. You can count me among those people that thought Spain would have their way, and Scotland, to their credit, got the job done at home. Can't start better than 6 points. So they topped the group. And not only did Scotland have a really strong window, they had the benefit of I think some other teams, and in particular Norway, not having a great window. And Norway had about as difficult a start as you can have, where they were away to Spain. They were away to Georgia, who Georgia is an up-and-coming team, and they only played one match in the window. So Georgia was rested, and they had only Norway to focus on. And that, yes, that match ended in a draw, but no Erling Haaland. It seems to be a theme for Norway that he is missing from the squad when they need him most. And it's got to be frustrating as a Norway fan to see them behind yet again, and with a lot of work to do.
It's incredibly frustrating.
And
I
I
just,
was thinking of one Norway fan in particular.
yeah, I wonder who that could be. Yeah, I was sitting there watching that game and just watching that happen, the Scotland Spain score, and I just thinking to myself, man, missed opportunity against Georgia, and I saw some people remarking on social media that, without Holland, Norway isn't anything. And I actually disagree with that. I think this is the most talented team that Norway's had in quite some time. You've got Odegaard, you've got Hauge, you've got guys like Pedersen, who's having a fantastic season at Feyenoord. He's about to win the Eredivisie, right? So I mean there's and there are others, but those are the three that just come to the top of mind, right? But as you mentioned, you just feel like if Holland was there, that it would have been a different story, at least in the Georgia game. I actually felt like Norway played Spain pretty well. I think that score line is deceiving. The first half, And about midway through the second half, I really felt Norway put in a really good performance.
Yeah.
And then I think they just got tired.
Yeah.
They were away.
I think
and it just fell
Spain
apart.
Toward, scored two after the 80th minute, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, this is going to be a really interesting group because Norway plays Scotland next. That's an absolute – you got to get something there for sure. What role does Georgia have to play in this group? That will be interesting to tell because, you know, we've come on a little stronger with Georgia in recent times, right? Like are they going to qualify? I don't know. You would kind of lean towards probably not, but I think that there is a potential for them to play spoiler in this group. So
I would agree. And we initially liked Norway and got a lot of backlash from our big Scotland contingent of supporters. And they were confident in their team and they got the job done at home. So I'm curious to see what happens when Scotland plays away from home. And I think they definitely have the benefit of having a lead. And it's, you know, if you're ahead or behind and you could pick which one, I think everyone's going to pick being ahead in the group. So, you know, they have a little bit of a cushion now. And when they go and play Norway, they may say, hey, a draw is good enough here. You know, if we don't lose, we don't let other teams gain ground on us. It looks like Cyprus is not going to be a factor. If they can kind of hold Norway off, they've got a huge advantage. And Norway, to your point, is really out of opportunities. They have to get something now.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And I want to note too, Scotland, sorry, but they didn't concede any goals.
Yeah.
They didn't concede against Spain. They didn't concede against Cyprus.
And I think they would be certainly happy to play 0-0 to Norway.
Yeah. So I think you're
Scotland in our simulations, they've really moved up a lot. We've got them at about 76% chance to qualify directly. Norway has fallen for sure. We still have Spain pretty high up, but Norway has fallen to roughly a 29% chance to qualify directly, and Georgia is also further down at 5%. Georgia and Norway, actually Scotland as well. It's highly likely that the two teams that don't qualify directly will actually end up in the playoffs. So combined chances to qualify directly or make the playoffs, we still have Norway at about an 89% chance. So even if they don't, they still have a really good chance to get to the playoffs. And Georgia also, mathematically, they cannot miss the playoffs because they won their Nations League group. So I think it'll be interesting to see how this group evolves, but you're not going to hear the last of these teams just in this group alone.
Yeah. I think also one thing that we should probably mention too is, so, and maybe you hinted at this earlier, but, you know, Scotland got the job done at home, right? They had two home games. Norway, they had two road games, right? So yeah, come the next window, you know, there's in June, it'll be the first home game against and for Norway, and it'll be against Scotland. So Oslo is going to be bumping.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The one real feather in Scotland's cap is that one of those wins is over Spain. And that's something that now another team has to either match or make up for to leapfrog them. So it was a huge win for them. Scotland fans, I think, should be feeling really good
really
about
good.
Where they're at. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy for Scotland for sure. You know, I think both those wins were deserved. So all credit to them.
Yeah. And this is a tough group. I mean, this is all four of Spain, Scotland, Norway, and Georgia. They're all good teams. Even Georgia, they're improving, but they're a really tough, solid team. And this is just, it's just a tough group. All right, let's shift to Group B, where France tops the group on 6 points, but in second is not the Netherlands. It is Greece, And Greece is on 3 points. The Netherlands did pick up a win, and they're on 3 points as well. Ireland and Gibraltar both on zero. I think Ireland is in some trouble here, but the Netherlands, they got blasted by France. France won 4-0, and that was really, not close at all. I wouldn't put that in the same bucket as that Spain Norway game where they played probably closer than the scoreline showed. France Netherlands was not in that category. France absolutely dominated. And the Netherlands only defeated Gibraltar 3-0. What are you thinking about the Netherlands? Are they in trouble? Is it just early? What did you see from them, and where's that team that we were so optimistic about heading into the World Cup and was into the quarterfinals of the World Cup? Where is that team?
Yeah, so not the greatest start for Koeman, his tenure here at for the Dutch. Where's that team? I mean, I saw a lot of chatter pointing that Koeman was, the potential issue. Just the lineups that he trotted out, perhaps not playing players in the right positions, or not playing players that should be getting a look. You kind of have to take some of that with a little bit of grain of salt, but I would say it was from pretty credible source, and so yeah, it's interesting. I think you still would favor them to be in one of the top two spots in this group. They'll play Greece next, which will be a good game. A bit of a slow start, I would say, and so perhaps slow out of the gate, and maybe they'll pick up steam. I don't know, but they'll have to figure out a way to. They should probably be getting more than three past Gibraltar.
I think all things considered, despite being currently behind Greece, you look at those matches, and losing to France is not the worst thing in the world because
No.
other
Yeah.
teams are also probably going to lose to France.
Correct. Yeah.
And getting the necessary 3 points against Gibraltar, it had to be done. They got the job done. So I think all things considered, it's not the greatest start, but I am still optimistic. But I was not overly impressed with them for sure.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see what Greece can do against the Netherlands. I think Gus Poyet has them playing has them playing better, right? And I think there's going to be something there. How far that is, I don't know, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because it's not really the traditional Greece team of old, like, right, like Euro from, what was that, 2002 or 2004? I think it was maybe 04.
Yep, 04.
It's not necessarily the buckle down and defend for 90 minutes Greece and hit them on the counter, right? Like, this is a team that is not afraid to play toe to toe, for better or for worse. So, what are they going to do at home? How are they going to come out against the Netherlands? That will be fascinating for me to see in this group.
This group hasn't really gotten going yet, in my opinion.
I agree.
The results are really what people expected. Greece got a win, the Netherlands got a win, France got their 2 wins. I think this next window is going to be much more exciting. One of the things to watch is really Ireland, and I don't think they're going to ultimately contend to be in the top two. The numbers that we have are minuscule. Less than 2% chance to finish in the top two, which is unbelievably low. But we've also gotten a lot of commentary about Ireland and will they make the playoffs? And they're an interesting one to keep an eye on because they're a League B team that's really right on that threshold. So 12 teams are going to make the UEFA playoffs. Four of those are going to be League C group winners. The next eight, if Estonia could get in as well from League D, if eight teams, or sorry, if there are less than four teams from League A in the playoffs, Estonia would qualify as well. So it's really, there's going to probably going to be seven teams among League A and League B where they're going to make the playoffs, and Ireland's right on that precipice of will they or won't they. We've got it about 50-50, but that's something the comments that we've received have really been more along the lines of will Ireland make the playoffs and not will Ireland qualify directly.
Yeah, which makes sense. That's probably their best shot.
Yeah, it's a tough group. I mean, getting drawn with France and Netherlands is bad enough, and Greece is a really good team as well. So, just not a favorable draw for them at all.
Yeah. Well, and I think, Ireland is another so they played France fairly close, actually.
They did.
And they didn't, so I think it was definitely a respectable loss, I guess, if there is such a thing, which I think there is. And we mentioned him, I think, on our last show, but so Ireland only had one game in Euro qualification, but they had a friendly as well. And my guy Evan Ferguson got on the score sheet, right?
He did.
So, I do think he's a very talented player. I think there's some other talents that are, could come through for Ireland. And so, yeah, don't brush them aside so quickly.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting as well to see how they evolve, because they could get better and really start to come into their own and gel and bring some new talent in as well. But ultimately, probably qualifying for the playoffs is really out of their hands. And that's one of the unfortunate things where making the playoffs, you're not necessarily guaranteed a spot, and they're far enough down the table where they're going to need some help. So you could even see them getting better, playing really well, and not even get into the playoffs. So I think they will be trying as best as possible to get into that top two, but dropping points at home is not going to help, especially in only a five team group. All right. Anything else about Group B that you had before you move on to Group C? All right. So Group C has England, Italy, North Macedonia, Ukraine, and Malta. And England's look good. England is on 6 points. I think they've looked really good. I think they're going to win the group and qualify. Would you agree with that? Did you like what you've seen from England? Do you think they're not only good enough to win the group outright, but also make a deep run at the finals?
Yes and yes. Yeah. Good win against Italy. played them pretty well. And yeah, I think they're off to a really good start, and I would expect that now to they've kind of turned things around, right? After kind of a disastrous Nations League campaign, it was good to kind of see them get really going.
It's still interesting because, and I know we've talked about this previously, but I still get the sense that not every nation has fully bought into the Nations League yet. And I think more teams than in the past definitely care about it now and understand the connection to qualifying and so forth. But England definitely feels like one of those teams that just doesn't care that much about the Nations League, to be honest. So I don't know. I think almost everyone felt that England was a better team than they showed. They've looked much better in Euro qualifying, and I don't really expect them to have much difficulty finishing in the top two of this group.
Group C, I don't really have too much more to note in particular, other than for Italy. I did want to mention that there's a player that got his first caps for Italy this last window, Retegui, who plays at Tigre in Argentina, actually, yes. Matteo Retegui. And he was very impressive. And he became the first Italian player to score for Italy while playing outside of Europe.
That's so unbelievable.
Yeah.
That is pretty really remarkable. That is really unbelievable.
Yeah. So a name to watch for sure. I don't anticipate that he's going to stay in Argentina much longer. For those of you who may or may not know, there's really strong connections between Italy and Argentina. There's a lot of Italian blood in Argentina. So it's not really too surprising that Italy has discovered this guy, that he wanted to play for Italy, and that he's doing very well. So, yeah, I would expect some sort of move for him in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would put Group C almost in the same hands as Group B with, hasn't really gotten going yet. North Macedonia defeated Malta at home. That's probably going to be their easiest match in the entire qualifying round. Italy dropped points against England. So right now, Italy and North Macedonia are both on 3 points. I'm really excited to see what North Macedonia does. And I'm really excited to see them play each other, especially after what happened in the World Cup qualifying.
Yes, so, exactly.
That's a matchup that has been circled on a lot of people's calendars for quite some time. It's not going to happen yet. It's not going to happen this window. You won't see that until September, unfortunately. But North Macedonia, I would not write them off. I would definitely not write them off. They beat Italy in World Cup qualifying. So I don't think it's impossible to think it could happen again.
Yeah.
Ukraine is a team I wanted to mention also. Is just I think they're a better quality team than their results have shown thus far. They've only played one match. But obviously, they're collectively in a tough situation. And I don't know if they're going to be able to play to their full potential. And that definitely worries me about Ukraine. I think putting everything else to the side, Ukraine, I don't think is as talented as Italy, but I think they would certainly be competitive and push Italy for sure. But I think we'll see. I'm not ready to also pass on Ukraine as well. I think there's a lot of time left. You know, they played England and held them to not a huge scoreline. And I think they're not done yet. And I think we will see Ukraine perhaps make some noise here.
All right.
All right. Let's shift to Group D. So, Group D is the first group, we've gotten to thus far where, no team has won both matches. So we don't have any teams on 6 points. We have Croatia on 4 points. We have Wales on 4 points. We have Turkey on 3, and Armenia and Latvia both on 0. The match that sticks out to me, really sticks out to me, is the first match, Croatia against Wales. And Wales, I think Wales has looked more impressive than Croatia has thus far. They're behind currently, but I think Wales has looked really good. And without Gareth Bale, it's I think people were a little apprehensive of what we would see from Wales. And it doesn't look like they've missed a beat.
Addition by subtraction.
I don't know if I agree with that, but but Wales is tough. I mean, they really pushed Croatia. They also picked up a big 3 points in their second match. Yes, it was only 1-0 over Latvia, but they're just a team that's going to be tough to beat, I think. Even if a team has outplayed them, they always seem to find a way to find an equalizer or do enough where they're getting a draw and not really losing ground against other teams. And I think they did that this window, and they're looking pretty good, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. You probably caught more of them than I did, so I think we'll just leave it at that.
Croatia, I think, has looked pretty good. But I think the real swing here is the fact that Croatia won at Turkey. And Croatia picking up a 2-0 win at Turkey, that is really difficult for Turkey to lose points at home against it. I really think this is a three-team group. So yep. to lose points at home against one of those other two teams that are probably in contention, I think that's a huge blow for Turkey that hasn't yet really borne out in the standings. But as time goes on and some of the other teams start to play the bottom teams, I think that's something that's going to create a gap. And I think Turkey is in some trouble here.
Yeah, so I tend to agree. This was a game that I actually had on. I had several games on at the same time. So, yeah, was not a little surprised, actually. I thought Turkey would be able to perform a little better at home. It was somewhat disappointing. And if I'll be honest, a little sloppy, I felt like from Turkey, and that was disappointing to see. But I don't think they're out of it. You know, I think there's still a lot to be played for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously there's quite a few games left, but
yeah,
I don't think they played to their potential.
I would agree. Wales actually is a team that's almost in the total opposite end of the spectrum relative to Scotland, where our numbers have been overly optimistic about Wales. And even before qualifying started, we were really pretty much higher amount on Wales relative to Turkey. And people weren't really believing it. And, you know, no bail. You haven't factored that in yet. But we've got Wales right now at a 78% chance to qualify directly. Croatia is all the way up at 95% chance, believe it or not. Tied for first and only 1 point out of third, but we've got them way high up because of that win at Turkey.
At Turkey,
And then we've got Turkey down all the way at like 25% to qualify directly. So I think it hasn't really borne out yet in the standings, but I think the results that have occurred thus far are going to have some pretty big implications down the line.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Group E is one that it's a bit of a mess. there's not much separating all the teams thus far. The Czech Republic is on 4 points. Poland is on 3 points. Moldova is on 2 points, picking up two draws. Faroe Islands on 1 point. And Albania on nil at the bottom of the table. Let's talk about the Czech Republic a little bit, because they are a team that I'm trying to decide in my mind, are they a good team or do they benefit from being drawn into a group that is arguably the weakest in qualifying? What are your thoughts on the Czech Republic?
Yeah, so I was really impressed with their opener, that win against Poland. You know, we talk a lot about winning your home games.
Yep.
They were able to do it, and they were 2-0 up after 3 minutes.
Yes.
Right. Like, and this is against Poland, who was a World Cup team, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, just really impressive. There's a couple of players that I think people should come to know with the Czech Republic, right? So Ladislav Krejci is one of them. He currently plays for Sparta Prague.
Yep.
They are challenging for the Czech title. In fact, they played today, earlier today. Krejci scored, but it was ruled out. He apparently fouled, but anyways, yeah. So he's a player to look out for. Young, very exciting talent. He's probably not going to stay at Sparta for much longer. But you know, then you also have guys like Alex Kral, Jan Kuchta, you know. So the Czech Republic is a team that I've been waiting for to just kind of come onto the scene.
Yeah.
Right. Like like they have plenty of talent, and I feel like they've underperformed a lot. That being said, they beat Poland, but then they underperformed against Moldova. You know, you should be able to get 3 points there. They should be sitting on six, but unfortunately, they could only muster up a draw. So again, it's very topsy-turvy with them, and that seems to have always be their problem, as they're just really inconsistent. So that's my take on Czech Republic right now.
I am not sold on them, and particularly because of matches like the Moldova match.
Over that.
And you don't see that from other top teams. Like, sure, when after a big win, teams have letdowns. And I think you look at the Netherlands, right? Even, they defeated Gibraltar 3-0. But they still got the job done and still got the 3 points. And these are the types of matches that you really need to do that, especially when there's not clear delineation in these groups. So dropping points against a team like Moldova, they might get away with it in the end, but I'm not ready to say they're up there yet in Europe when you're seeing results like that.
I think that's totally fair.
Speaking of Moldova, they scored one goal, they allowed one goal, they held the Czech Republic to a draw, but they also drew at home to the Faroe Islands. Is there anything there for Moldova? Is that a team that we should be talking about a little bit more? I mean, they haven't lost in through two matches. They have not lost.
I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say no. I mean, it's tough. You know, they're a team that, you know, you would maybe like to see or get excited about, right? But no, I don't think there's anything.
I don't know if we have a lot of Moldovan listeners, but we will keep an eye on them. What about Poland? I mean, do you, after the first match against Czech Republic, I was a little bit nervous. I think they're clearly among the most two talented teams. I think they're probably the most talented team in this group. But they didn't look that great against the Czech Republic, as you just mentioned. They did pull out a 1-0 win at home against Albania, which was big considering. A lot of people did like Albania to potentially be a surprise here. Are you concerned about Poland, or do you think they'll ultimately be okay?
I think they'll ultimately be okay. You know, it's a new beginning. You know, Fernando Santos leaving Portugal. Now he's at Poland. We kind of talked about this last time. Such an interesting appointment, right? And he hadn't been there for too long. Really only getting to work his ideas with that team for just this last international break, right? So I think they're going to be okay. Not
Our
overly.
numbers actually still like Poland to win the group, believe it or not. Despite being behind and despite losing to the Czech Republic, we still do like them to top the group.
There we go.
All right. Anything else on Group E? Is Albania a team that we should be paying attention to, or are they just shuffled too far back?
I think it's too early to tell. They have an interesting project going on there, right? They're the coaches that they've appointed. We talked about that last show. So I think it's too early to tell. Jury's still out for me.
I would agree. And again, you look at what has happened thus far. Yes, they're at the bottom of so behind Moldova, behind the Faroe Islands, but they played one match, and it's probably going to be the toughest match that they face all qualifying at Poland. And they only lost 1-0. You know, it was not a drubbing by any means. So Albania is in fifth place currently and last in the group, but do not write them off yet for sure. They're hosting Moldova this window. They're in June. They're going to be at the Faroe Islands. They could easily come away from those two matches with 6 points and be right back in it.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. Let's shift to Group F. So, surprisingly, a bit maybe, Austria tops the group
Oh, definitely,
with 6 points.
surprising. Yeah.
Belgium's on 3 points, Sweden's on 3 points, and then Estonia and Azerbaijan both with zero. Austria is a team that did not make the World Cup. They looked pretty bad in qualifying, and they're back, maybe. I sense that you're probably also a little disappointed about Sweden, though.
No, not. I'm actually not, because Sweden right now is just in a really tough spot. I mean, they've got a 40 something year old Zlatan that they can't seem to get, not get rid of. That's not the right phrase, but like they can't seem to
They
move
haven't turned the
past
page
him.
yet. They haven't turned the
Yeah.
page yet.
Yeah, correct. They haven't moved past him yet. I mean, I don't know what they're doing calling him back into the team. I mean, yes, he's, I guess he's performing for Milan, but yeah, they're trying to rebuild, but they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot, I
You
feel.
wonder if it's doing more harm than good
Yeah.
by saying, okay, well, instead of kind of let's figuring out our new identity and who we are as a team, they're just going back and saying, oh, well, we'll just bring Zlatan in and he can rescue us again for the 20th year in a row.
Yeah, exactly. They did not look good against Belgium. They looked pretty good against Azerbaijan, putting five past them. But you just wonder if that's a little deceiving. I just, yeah, the Sweden Austria games are going to be massive.
I think Belgium has looked like the Belgium team that I think most people expect. And you have to wonder, is that some rejuvenated energy with their coaching change? Because they're just, I mean, you look at the roster of each team in this group, and I would say most would say Belgium is by far the most talented team in this group. And they showed that in the first qualifying window. So, they got a huge win at Sweden, 3-0. I don't really expect them to have any difficulty whatsoever qualifying directly. So to your point, I think it's those Sweden Austria matches. I mean, Austria looks much, much more competent than they had in the Nations League and in World Cup qualifying. And who do you like between Austria and Sweden? Do you think Austria is going to keep that form going, or do you think Sweden is going to figure it out? Because they have not really had a run of good form, really at all. I mean, they were not at the World Cup, obviously. Yes, they made it in 2018, but they've really not done a lot recently. And I'm definitely concerned about Sweden and what to expect from them. Austria has me, I think, feeling pretty good about their chances.
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic about Austria right now, just recognizing that they've played the two weakest teams in the group
They
so
have.
far, right? But given Sweden's kind of issues at the moment, which is funny because, as you just alluded to, Austria was kind of in a similar position in during World Cup qualifying, where they were just not really putting anything together. And so yeah, I think right now I'm favoring Austria slightly over Sweden, but yeah, just kind of not ready
Not
to,
convinced yet.
yeah, not
And I
convinced.
think that's fair. I mean, you made a great point. They played Azerbaijan at home. They played Estonia at home. Those are probably the two easiest matches they will have in qualifying. And they beat Azerbaijan convincingly. They only beat Estonia 2-1. And not only did they only beat Estonia 2-1, they fell behind 1-0 and needed a winner in the last 5 minutes to even get those 3 points. So they play at Belgium. They host Sweden in June. And it'll be interesting to see if they keep it up or if this was more of a mirage.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree.
Belgium looks really good, though. I think Belgium is going to qualify directly.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. Tedesco's doing his work.
Yep. We've got, and just going to the numbers here, Austria, we've got at 55% to qualify directly. Sweden, we have at 47% to qualify directly. So it's basically a toss-up according to the numbers, despite what the table currently says.
Yeah.
All right. That's a fun group. It's definitely one that's going to be up in the air. Group G. So Serbia is on 6 points. Hungary is on 3 points. Montenegro is on 3 points. And then Lithuania and Bulgaria both on 0 points. We've been accosted by our Serbian followers for projecting them at 99.3%, excuse me, to qualify directly. They're on 6 points. I don't think any of Montenegro or Lithuania or Bulgaria are going to catch Serbia. Do you think Serbia is safe?
Yeah. I think Serbia is definitely safe. They looked really good. I watched their game against Montenegro and was pretty impressed. They play a lot better when I'm drawing a blank on the name Vlahovic, I think. For some reason he didn't start, but he should be, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Because he got both the goals in the second half for them, and just he came on at halftime.
Yeah.
And Serbia just looked way better with him on the field. Yeah. So I'm liking Serbia a lot. I'm actually really, really liking Hungary as well.
Yeah.
I think those Hungary Serbia games are gonna be fun to watch. Hungary right now, much like Serbia, is really flying high. I think there's a lot to like about both those teams, and they're just fun to watch.
Yeah, I very much agree on Hungary, and I think there's definitely some skepticism around Hungary and their performance in the Nations League simply because it's the Nations League, and you know, a lot of people are, England doesn't really care, this is more important for Hungary. But Hungary had to get promoted to Ligue 1 in the first place, which they did. And Hungary competed with top teams. And, you know, those teams in the Nations League had their best out there. And Hungary hung right with them. They've been winning a lot. They've been playing really well. They're in the top 20 in our world rankings. I don't see any reason to believe at this point that Hungary also will not qualify. We've got them. We've got Serbia. I mentioned it at 99%. We've got Hungary at 95%, almost 96% to qualify directly, and Montenegro at 4%. That's how much of a gap we have between those two. So I'm really, really optimistic about Hungary. It'll be curious to see what they do against Montenegro. That's what I'm going to be keeping an eye on are they definitively better than Montenegro? I think if they are able to defeat Montenegro once, I think they're going to be in. I think they have enough talent and enough cushion against some of the other teams that they're really playing well, and I would expect them to finish in the top two, but we will see in June. They are at Montenegro in June, and that's going to be a huge match.
Did you hear about the rock, paper, scissors thing with Hungary?
I did not.
Okay. So Hungary only played one Euro qualifier this window, and their other game was a friendly against Estonia, I think. I think it was Estonia.
Yes,
anyways,
it was.
So they got a penalty in that game, and they couldn't decide who was going to take the penalty, which that did not sit well with Rossi, who's their coach. He was like actually like fuming mad on the sidelines, and like there was a reporter that mentioned it in his press conference, and he was like, he was so mad because he's like we have captains clearly defined, like we like you can't go out there. And so what ended up happening, sorry if I'm not explaining this well, but so Roland Salai and Dominik Szoboszlai, they did rock paper scissors for who was going to take the penalty kick, and Roland Salai ended up winning the rock paper scissors, and then he missed the penalty. so yeah, that didn't go down too well with Rossi, it's a leadership for him anyways.
And I did not realize this, but Szoboszlai is actually their captain. He's 22 years old.
And that was DeRossi's point. It's like the captain should be taking the penalty, right? Instead they were like goofing off.
Hungary is a team that I think is gonna surprise some people, and they have a really young team, and they're just getting better, and they have a lot of talent on that team. Definitely a team to watch for me. I think they beat Montenegro and really just kind of separate themselves from the pack, but we will see.
Absolutely. This is probably the most talented Hungary team that they've had for a long
decades.
Time. Yeah. Back from since the times of Puskas, probably.
Yeah, it has been a while, but it's good to see Hungary back, and I always enjoy, like, you're always going to have your top teams in Europe, but it's always good to see some of those teams that have been more towards the middle of the pack really get some positive results and be much more competitive, and Hungary definitely feels like one of those teams.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's shift to Group H, where the table is quite interesting thus far. Slovenia.
This group is whack.
It's wide open, for sure. Slovenia is on 6 points. Denmark is on 3 points. Kazakhstan's on 3 points. Finland is on 3 points. Northern Ireland is on 3 points. And San Marino, unfortunately, was not able to pick up any point in their two matches. So, what's wrong with Denmark?
You're just cutting right to the chase, aren't you?
I don't think anyone expected Denmark to not be top of this group. And in particular, how did Denmark lose at Kazakhstan?
So I'm not hitting panic stations yet. I think it was just a blip in the radar. At least I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Right. This was the coming out party for Rasmus Højlund, who I think very soon is going to be a household name, if he's not already. He's in my house, anyways. currently playing for
all the kids know his name.
All the kids know his name. Currently playing for Atalanta in Italy, but I don't think he's going to be there for too long. And he was playing for Sturm Graz before then. So, and then before then, he came through the FC Copenhagen Academy and played briefly for their first team. So I've kind of been tracking him for a while, and this is kind of his coming out party. He's a sensational player, but what happened?
They collapsed.
I think it was just a mentality thing. I really do. Yeah. I think it was a mentality piece. There's long travel to get to Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
They played a tough game against Finland just a few days earlier. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm gonna credit it to. Yeah. And I think you also have to, on the flip side, you have to credit Kazakhstan for getting a huge result like that, right? Like
the environment was insane. That was possibly my favorite match that I watched in Euro qualifying all window, and the Kazakhstan fans were just going crazy. And they scored some great goals. Like, they were not fluky goals. Like, they were really nice goals that Kazakhstan scored. And yeah, that was a fun match, even if you were rooting for Denmark.
Yeah. No, it was a fun match. I couldn't believe it. But you know, it happened. I don't want to single out any players, but I did see some comments about Simon Kjær, you know, and just if you have him isolated in a situation where you have an attacker running and it's a 1v1 situation, he just doesn't have the speed anymore. You know, and so maybe that played a factor as well. And perhaps Kazakhstan did a good job of trying to isolate him.
I do think for Denmark, that is, if you ask me to pick one weak spot, I think their center backs are probably it. I think they've got talent around in most other positions. But to your point, age and really who's that next man to take over, and I don't think they have that yet. And so to me, that's if you're looking for an area of concern, to me that sticks out for Denmark.
Interesting. Yeah. Victor Nelson, that's the other center back who pairs with Simon Kjær. You know, he's playing for Galatasaray. You know, he was okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, you may be right. I think time will tell. But yeah, I mean, that definitely does seem like a position perhaps where maybe we could use a little bit more.
Yeah. Let's talk about Slovenia a little bit, because they did what Denmark could not do, and that's win at Kazakhstan. And not only did they pick up 3 points in a win over Kazakhstan, they picked up a huge win at home over San Marino. But Slovenia is on 6 points through two matches. And I think they're a team that is one of those that our numbers like. We were really positive about Slovenia's outlook for this group. And I don't really think a lot of people believed it. I think Slovenia has been behind the scenes and has been more towards the middle of the pack in Europe over the last few years. But I think they've quietly gotten better and people have not really realized.
I would agree. I would definitely agree. This group to me is one of the funnest groups. I mean, I just, again, it's similar to kind of Austria. I'm kind of cautiously optimistic. Like,
yes, exactly.
You know,
they're going to Finland. They're playing Denmark in June. So
that's tough. I mean, those are some tough games, right? And, yeah. But you know, to get a win in Kazakhstan is impressive, especially considering that, you know, who Kazakhstan then went on to beat, right? Denmark. So
yeah,
it's really crazy, but it's exciting. It's got to be exciting for all the Slovenians, right? Like, I think it's been a while since they've had a team like this that the country can really rally around. And yeah, they've put themselves in a really good position early on. Can they keep it? That will be the question.
Yep. They have not been to the Euros since 2000, which is unbelievable. And then they were at the World Cup in 2010. That was their last major tournament that they've been to. So it has been a long time for Slovenia. They have a 19-year-old striker who's at Red Bull Salzburg, Benjamin Šeško, I believe it is.
Yes. And he's freaking awesome.
He is so good. Speaking of players kind of in the Hoyland vein that are probably not going to be at the clubs they're at for much longer, he's definitely on that list.
Yeah. So he's actually already gone to Leipzig in Germany.
There you have it.
Staying in the Red Bull family, but yeah, he's already moving on.
Getting together with the Hungarians at Leipzig.
There you go. That's right. But yeah, definitely exciting player. And really, you just kind of feel like maybe a focal point for Slovenia.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, I don't think there's been a big Slovenian name. I mean, I guess Ilicic, but that's been like a real superstar for Slovenia in some time. And I think that he could definitely be that player.
Yeah, I think there were players that were hyped up to be like that. Like, I think Benjamin Verbich was one. He never really quite panned out, I think, like a lot of people were hoping, right? But then you've also got Brekalo, who, yeah. And but then I don't know, guys like Goran Stankovic. So I mean, there's like some names, but not anything. You're right, like Cesko and what he's shaping out to be. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting.
The other teams in the group are certainly also not out of it. Finland, Northern Ireland. Do you think either of those teams can push Denmark, can push Slovenia and leapfrog either of those teams?
I think Finland can push them. I don't hold a lot of stock in Northern Ireland right now, but I do think Finland has the ability to push the envelope. It's gonna be really tough. I actually thought they played Denmark pretty well overall. I'm a big fan of Oliver Antman. Got on the score sheet this window.
Best name in sports, possibly.
Seriously. So yeah, I'm kind of big on them at the moment. The Owls, that's what they're called. So I'm hoping to see, some good things there. But again, it's such an exciting group. Like, I want Kazakhstan to do well, and I want Finland to do well, and I want Denmark to do well, and Slovenia. I mean, it's like flip a coin.
This group is definitely totally up for grabs, and it's interesting because it's a 16 group, and the three groups that have six teams effectively have the three worst teams in Europe in their groups, and yet somehow they seem to be a little bit more competitive than the five team groups, which is just, I guess it's just luck of the draw, but a little more margin for error, perhaps. And so things aren't as settled yet. You don't see as much of a swing, and there's still a lot to play for.
Sure.
All right, let's move down to Group I, which is also a 16 group. So this is not like Group H, where it is lumped together. Both Switzerland and Romania came away from the March window with two wins and are on 6 points. The third place team is already 4 points behind them, and Kosovo on 2 points. Andorra and Israel both have 1 point, and Belarus has zero. I think I expected Switzerland to do well and really run away with this group. I did not expect Romania to be 4 points up through two matches. Did you like what you saw from Romania, or do you think it's more, again, the fact they played Andorra and then played Belarus at home?
I think you have to go with the latter there, right? There's some bigger tests that are coming up, but for me, it's less about liking Romania and being more disappointed in what Israel didn't do this window, because for me, they were kind of the other big player in this group. I mean, they drew at home with Kosovo. They honestly. I watched that game. They should have won that game.
I know.
They
They should have. I watched that game as well.
so that's a disappointing draw, and then you kind of expect to lose, I guess, away to Switzerland, right? But yeah, so not a great start, but can they rebound? Yeah, Romania. Good for them. They gave themselves a 4 point gap, and now it's going to be up to them to keep that and up to others to try to catch. So that's going to be.
So we have Switzerland only behind a team that we haven't talked about yet in Portugal as highest chances to qualify directly at 99.4% for Switzerland. But despite that 4-point gap between Romania and the third place team, we only have Romania at about 59% to qualify directly. And so I think the numbers are not as favorable, the schedule not being the most difficult for Romania so far, because we still have Israel at 36.4%, so roughly two-thirds, one-third, and Kosovo is further down. They're not out of it yet, of course, but it still looks to us like, you know, Israel's got a chance to get back into it, but the scales have definitely tilted in Romania's favor.
Yeah, which I mean, to again, to their credit, that's big for that country. So.
I'm not as optimistic about Romania in terms of talent like I am about some of the other teams that we have discussed. I think they're a solid team, but I don't really get the sense with Romania they've got a player or two players that you're going to look at and say these guys are going to be superstars and really emerge and bring Romania to new heights, so to speak. I don't really get that sense with Romania. Do you, is there anyone in particular on that roster that you look at and you think, wow, that player's really gonna emerge as a superstar?
Not necessarily. There is a guy, I forget his name, Hagi maybe. I don't think he was
Yanis
in, yeah, Hagi. Yeah, he plays for Rangers, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think he was
I
in the last.
he was not in the squad.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on there, but I feel like he was one to watch, but I'll be honest, I need to brush up on my Romanian player.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Any final thoughts on Group I, or should we head to Group J and finish things up?
Let's go to Group J.
All right. Portugal's running away with it. Portugal has scored 10 goals in 2 matches. They're on 6 points. They're easily going to finish top two. I don't think it's even going to be close, personally. But things got a bit interesting behind Portugal because Slovakia, who was in pot five, and a lot of people wrote off, and we picked to finish second, and people were not happy about that. They're on 4 points. Bosnia is in third on 3 points. Iceland is in fourth on 3 points. And then Luxembourg is on one and Liechtenstein on zero, way, way behind. It feels like it's probably going to be a three-team race between Slovakia, Bosnia, and Iceland for that second spot. Where are you leaning on these three teams?
Don't ask me that question. But no, it's really tough. So yeah, very surprised with Slovakia right now. I think I did not expect them to beat Bosnia. I thought Bosnia actually would come out of this window with two wins or 4 points at least. I kind of figured that they'd get past Iceland. Iceland right now is not what they once were. And funny enough, they actually, right after the window closed, they sacked their coach. And they recently announced, this was last week, they've brought in Agi Harada, I can't say the name. Harita, there we go. Agi Harita, who I'm actually very familiar with. He's coached several teams that I follow, Molde, Malmo. He coached the Norwegian national team at one point. He coached Denmark at one point. So he has some experience. I think it's a good hire for Iceland. He definitely has a task ahead of him. And they're not, you know, they're not out of the race by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think he's going to have to find a way to make that team more competitive. And there were some players that hadn't been seeing regular playing time. I think Gudmundsson, he's at AZ Alkmaar. I think that's his last name. He's one that I've seen several people say, hey, like he's got to be starting in this game. Like he's yeah, Albert Goodmanson, I'm pretty sure is who I'm referring to. So, and he is a good player. I've watched him play for AZ all season long. You know, it is fully deserved. So, that again, Iceland is a team a lot like, who's a good comparison? Like maybe like a Slovenia or a Finland, maybe like a Czech Republic, mm-hmm. right? That they have talent,
yep,
and they have players who are playing at a high level. You know, they've not been able to bring it together since, you know, they made the World Cup in 2018. And so hopefully their new coach can do that. So yeah, Bosnia, I thought they played pretty well against Iceland. Didn't play that great against Slovakia, but yeah, it's definitely a three-horse race for that second spot, and who's going to grab it is really the question. I think that it is in everybody's mind. I mean, all three of these teams, Slovakia, Bosnia, and Iceland, they all have younger squads, kind of fresher faces, right, mm-hmm. that are like, this is like the time where they're coming together.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is, you look at groups and how many teams can legitimately qualify. I think this group is right up there with the most of any group as teams that can finish in the top two. I am not sold on Bosnia yet. They came out of the gate flying, and it's like, oh, I was way too low on Bosnia. They are legit. They are the team that people are saying they are. And then Slovakia humbled them a bit. And really said, look, it's not yours to run away with yet. And Slovakia is definitely going to have a say there. Slovakia to me is a team that, I mean, you look at teams that just didn't care about the Nations League. Like this Slovakia team being in pot five for a draw is ridiculous. Like, there is a 0% chance that Slovakia is not among the top 40 teams in Europe. Like, there's no way. And it's just kind of the way things went with the Nations League and ultimately how the pots were determined. But I think people were down on Slovakia a little bit too quickly. And I think people were getting too excited about Bosnia a little too quickly. Slovakia is a good team. They are a good team. And I think it could go either way. I think Bosnia could come back. I'm still leaning Slovakia a little bit, but I'm really interested to see how this shakes out and if Bosnia truly is that team that people think they are.
Yeah, I agree. I do like Slovakia at this point in time. So it's going to be a fun race.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed with Luxembourg. I know we're not talking about them too much, but they didn't score at all. They got destroyed by Portugal 6-0. You know, they were able to pick up a draw at Slovakia. Mm-hmm. But I expected a little bit more from them. And it looks like that may not happen.
No, I completely agree. We kind of hyped them up, I think, on our last show, and they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of disappointed a little bit. Although, you know, a draw against Slovakia maybe isn't the worst thing, but
yeah
it's a little disappointing. Yeah.
Indeed. All right. So just to really wrap up Euro, we talked through who we like. A couple teams that I did want to highlight is just teams that we may not favor to qualify from the group, but we like to make the playoffs, or teams that are guaranteed to make the playoffs. So Israel's guaranteed a spot in at least the playoffs. So if they don't win their group, they will be in the playoffs. Bosnia, same thing. If they don't win their group or don't finish top two in their group, they will be in the playoffs. Norway is probably going to be there. Turkey is also guaranteed to be there, and Greece is also guaranteed to be there, winning their groups. So those are teams that you will see in the playoffs if they don't qualify directly. A couple other teams: Ukraine, Iceland is likely to be in the playoffs, just based on where things went in the Nations League. We give them an 85% chance to make the playoffs. Georgia also won their group, so if they don't finish top two, they will be in the playoffs. Kazakhstan, same thing, guaranteed a spot in at least the playoffs. And then the last team is Estonia. And so I just wanted to mention Estonia briefly because we didn't really talk about them too much. And it doesn't really look like they're going to be a factor in their group, in Group F. But the way that this edition of the Nations League works out, as I mentioned previously, they fill leagues and they say, okay, we need four teams from League A, four from B, four from C. Well, there are only 16 teams in League A. And because they are the best teams in Europe, it is highly likely that at least 12 of the teams, or at least 13 of the teams, are among the 20 that qualify directly. So if that is the case, where there aren't four teams left from League A, the way that they made the rules, Estonia finished first in League D, they get their one team that gets selected into the playoffs. So we currently have them at a 99.7% chance to be in the playoffs. So we think it is extremely likely that you get 13 plus teams from League A qualifying directly. So Estonia is a team that you're probably also going to see in the playoffs. So it'll be interesting. I mean, Estonia is going to be in there probably. Kazakhstan, Georgia, Ukraine, Iceland. I think the playoffs are going to be fun as well.
Yeah, I'm already excited.
All right. So that is Europe. And that's going to do it for this show, a long show. So if you stayed with us, we just want to thank you for listening and following us through North America and Africa and Europe. The March window was exciting. I'm already looking forward to June and what's to come. We've got qualifying continuing. We've got CONCACAF Nations League. We've got the Gold Cup over the summer. So there's a lot going on over the summer, and really looking forward to breaking that down with you. So again, just want to give you our where you can find us on social media. You can follow Joe on Twitter at 12th Yank. You can follow myself, Brandon, at we global football. And you can follow our pod at window intl pod, and catch us there as well. So I just want to thank everyone for listening, and we will see you on the next episode.
Thanks, everybody.